If you have your Bible, I'd encourage you to go ahead and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And as you're doing that, the children, ages 4 through the 4th grade, can be dismissed to children's church. If you have children ages 4 through the 4th grade and you'd like for them to attend children's church, we have workers at the back ready to receive them. They are more than welcome to stay here with us as well. If you do not have a Bible with you this morning, you will find 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 4 through 9, printed on that same panel in your bulletin that Scott read from earlier, where Ephesians 1 was printed. On October the 3rd, 1863, President Abraham Lincoln issued the following proclamation, originally written by his Secretary of State, William Seward. The year that is drawing towards its close has been filled with the blessings of fruitful fields and healthful skies. To these bounties, which are so constantly enjoyed that we are prone to forget the source from which they come, others have been added, which are of so extraordinary a nature that they cannot fail to penetrate and soften even the heart which is habitually insensible to the ever-watchful providence of Almighty God. In the midst of a civil war of unequaled magnitude and severity, which has sometimes seemed to foreign states to invite and to provoke their aggression, peace has been preserved with all nations, order has been maintained, the laws have been respected and obeyed, and harmony has prevailed everywhere except in the theater of military conflict. And then Lincoln goes on to acknowledge thanksgiving for God's grace and provision even in the midst of our nation's civil war. And then he continues, "No human counsel hath devised, nor hath any mortal hand worked out these great things. They are the gracious gifts of the Most High God, who, while dealing with us in anger for our sins, hath nevertheless remembered mercy. It has seemed to me fit and proper that they should be solemnly, reverently, and gratefully acknowledged as with one heart and one voice by the whole American people. I do therefore invite my fellow citizens in every part of the United States and also those who are at sea and those who are sojourning in foreign lands to set apart and observe the last Thursday of November next as a day of thanksgiving and praise to our beneficent Father who dwelleth in the heavens. And I recommend to them that while offering up the ascriptions justly due to him for such singular deliverances and blessings, they do also with humble penitence for our national perverseness and disobedience, commend to his tender care all those who have become widows, orphans, mourners, or sufferers in the lamentable civil strife in which we are unavoidably engaged, and fervently implore the interposition of the Almighty Hand to heal the wounds of the nation and to restore it as soon as may be consistent with the divine purpose to the full enjoyment of peace, harmony, tranquility, and union." Our passage for this morning, 1 Corinthians 1, verses 4 through 9, is a declaration of thanksgiving as well. Not a presidential declaration to citizens of an earthly nation, but a Holy Spirit-inspired thanksgiving from the pen of the Apostle Paul, that if we will hear Paul's thanksgiving, can instruct us in how we too, as the people of God, might offer a thanksgiving that is, as the title of my sermon says, a gospel-colored thanksgiving. Read with me 1 Corinthians 1, 4 through 9. "I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that was given you in Christ Jesus, that in every way you were enriched in him in all speech and all knowledge, even as the testimony about Christ was confirmed among you, so that you are not lacking in any spiritual gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will sustain you to the end, guiltless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, indeed, you are faithful. Over and over again, you have proven your faithfulness to us. Father, we ask that you would, again this morning, demonstrate your faithfulness to use your word to accomplish your purposes in our lives. Father, help us during even this time. Help us, Father, to return to you in our hearts gratitude and thanksgiving, particularly thanksgiving for what you have done, what you are doing now, and what you will do in the future in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for him and what is ours if we claim him by faith. Father, help us to rest and rejoice in the glorious news of the gospel and what you have done for us in Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. The first words of the Apostle Paul's writing here in this passage alert us to the fact that this is a thanksgiving, right? He begins by saying, I give thanks to my God. This is a thanksgiving. And verses 4 through 8 form one long sentence in which Paul goes into some detail about the reason and the nature of this thanksgiving that he offers to God. And if we take a moment and just reflect on the words that the Apostle Paul uses, the ways in which he expresses thanksgiving. Excuse me. We do see that his thanksgiving from beginning to end, through and through, is shaped, is informed, is colored by the gospel. And so we have something to learn here from the Apostle Paul about how we also might offer gospel-colored thanksgiving. As we consider these six verses, I want us to think about three things related to a gospel-colored thanksgiving. First, what it is not. A gospel-colored thanksgiving, what it is not. Second, a gospel-colored thanksgiving, what it is. And then thirdly, what it looks like in our lives. What it is not, what it is, and what it looks like in our lives. Now, just a word about the phrase, gospel-colored thanksgiving. What does that mean? Well, kind of what I had in mind here as I reflected on Paul's text was the coloring pages that my children like to color right now. You knew I was going to get it in there, right? The children were going to get in there at some point. And so, you know, we have a kindergartner and preschoolers, and we have crayons all over the place, and we have these coloring pages. So they tear them out of the book. You know them. They're white or that paper gray, and they have the black lines, and they're nice looking, but they're bland. But then the children grab their crayons or their markers and they fill in the colors and the pictures pop with life because of the color. And what I want to suggest to you is that as Paul offers thanksgiving to God here, what it is that colors in his thanksgiving, what it is that energizes it, what it is that gives life to Paul's thanksgiving is nothing more than, nothing less than, the gospel of Christ. And this is how our thanksgiving ought to be colored. It ought to be colored by what Christ has done for us. So, let's consider what a gospel thanksgiving is not. First, a gospel thanksgiving is not limited to material blessings. A gospel thanksgiving is not limited to material blessings. This is often how we think about giving thanks, right? Thinking about and praising and thanking God for how He has provided for our material needs, how He has provided food and shelter and clothing and other provisions. And it is all together right and good that we should thank God for these things. The Apostle Paul does it himself elsewhere in Acts 17 in his sermon there in Athens. He says this, "The God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by man, nor is he served by human hands, as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything." The Apostle Paul acknowledges that everything that we have, life, breath, everything, comes to us because of God's kind hand to us. And so we would be remiss if we did not give God thanks, if we did not praise Him for the ways in which He has blessed us materially. For every time that we thank God for some provision of His to us, there are 10,000 times that we neglect to thank Him and praise Him. So I do not intend to communicate here that we should not give God thanks for how He has so graciously, so abundantly provided for us. But did you notice that as the Apostle Paul gives thanks to God here in 1 Corinthians, he makes no mention in this place of material blessings. And so what I want to suggest is that as we think about a gospel-colored thanksgiving, it's not limited to material blessings. Yes, we should thank God for His blessings on us materially, but if we stop there, our thanksgiving is not necessarily gospel-colored. Secondly, what a gospel-colored thanksgiving is not. It's not limited to personal benefit. Here's another way in which we think about giving thanks. We give thanks to one another, to our relatives, to co-workers, to others that we know, when they provide something for us. They provide a word of encouragement. They provide a meal at a time when we need it. They provide a listening ear. They provide some other gift to us. And how do we respond? The right way for us to respond is with gratitude. Why? Because we have personally benefited by their giving to us. And it is, again, altogether right and good that we give thanks when we benefit from the ministry, from the service, from the love of others. We teach our children, as soon as they can begin to communicate, the words, "thank you." Right? We want to ingrain in them this idea of being grateful when others provide for them. Again, the Apostle Paul expresses this type of gratitude elsewhere. In Philippians chapter 4, he writes to them, "Yet it was kind of you to share my trouble. And you Philippians yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving, except you only. Even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once again." So again, it is good for us to simply say to one another, "Thank you. Thank you for the way in which you have blessed me in this occasion." But hear what the Apostle Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 1. "I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that was given you in Christ Jesus, that in every way you were enriched in Him in all speech and all knowledge, even as the testimony about Christ was confirmed among you, so that you are not lacking in any spiritual gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will sustain you to the end, guiltless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Paul makes no mention of personal benefit that he has received from the Corinthians in his thanksgiving to God. So, when we think about gospel-colored thanksgiving, we should say that yes, it is good and right for us to thank one another, thank the Lord when we receive personal benefits. But if our thanksgiving stops there, it is not necessarily gospel-colored. Finally, gospel-colored thankfulness is not offered to or for those who have necessarily earned it. Now, this is related to the idea of personal benefit, but it's a little bit different. Here's what I mean. It is good for us to express our gratitude to one another when we see one another doing things and serving in ways that deserve thankfulness, that deserve gratitude. We should thank Pastor Steve for his commitment to be faithful to Scripture. We should thank our Sunday school teachers because of the time that they invest in preparing to do ministry. We should thank one another for how we see one another serving the body of Christ well. This is good for us to thank one another in these ways. But notice what we're doing in this Thanksgiving. We're acknowledging the service of someone and we are indicating that their activity warrants our thanksgiving. This thanksgiving is right, but it's not what the Apostle Paul does here. He does not say that the Corinthian church has done something in and of themselves to earn his gratitude, to earn his thanksgiving. And in fact, if you read through the letter of 1 Corinthians, they have done anything but behave in ways that would inspire one to give thanks for them, which is exactly what the Apostle Paul does. I thank my God for you always. And yet, what was this church like? This church was fractured by divisions. This church was taking one another to court. This church was confused over human sexuality. This church didn't know how to handle a case of incest within their midst. This church was confused about how they should administer the Lord's Supper. This church was prideful over the spiritual gifts that they had been given. This church was not characterized by an attitude of love. This church, on the face of it, did nothing to warrant the Apostle Paul's thanks for them. And yet, what does he say? I thank my God always for you. So when we think about offering gospel-colored thanksgiving, recognize that it's not limited by material blessing. It's not limited by personal benefit. It's not offered necessarily to or for one who has done something to deserve our gratitude. So then, what is gospel-colored thanksgiving? If it's not those things, what is it? Read with me again. I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that was given you in Christ Jesus, that in every way you were enriched in him in all speech and all knowledge. First of all, gospel-colored thanksgiving is thanksgiving that credits God for the giving of his grace. It is thanksgiving that credits to God the grace that he has given to us. I give thanks to my God always, Paul says. Why? Why does Paul give thanks always or regularly for these believers? He says, because of the grace of God that was given to you in Christ Jesus. Now, we'll have more to say about what this grace is in just a moment. But for now, what we need to observe is that throughout his thanksgiving, Paul is crediting God as the giver of grace. Here in verse 4, the grace of God that was given to you. In verse 7, so that you are not lacking in any spiritual gift. That word spiritual gift means a grace gift, something that was given to them by God's grace. He says in verse 5 that you were enriched in him. That is, God enriched them. God provided to them. It is God who gave to them that which Paul is thanking the Lord for. Gospel-colored thanksgiving, first and foremost, gives God credit for his grace to us. Secondly, gospel-colored thanksgiving is centered on Christ. 10 times in the opening 10 verses of 1 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul makes an explicit reference to the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ Jesus, my Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. 10 times he points their attention to Christ. 5 times in our verses here. I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that was given you in Christ Jesus, that in every way you were enriched in him, in all speech and all knowledge, even as the testimony about Christ was confirmed among you, so that you are not lacking in any spiritual gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will sustain you to the end, guiltless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Over and over and over, Paul is turning their attention to Christ. Why? It's easy for those of us who gather regularly together and read the Word and confess Christ as our Lord to gloss over this and to just take for granted Paul's continual reference to Christ. But why does Paul articulate his thanksgiving in this Christ-centered way? It's because the grace of God for which Paul is thankful for cannot be conceived of apart from the Lord Jesus Christ himself. It is impossible for Paul to understand the Corinthian believers as dwelling within the realm of God's gracious hand apart from the fact that they are there because of Christ, and that it is in Christ that God has poured out his grace upon them. He cannot fathom thinking about the grace of God apart from Christ. Therefore, he cannot fathom giving thanks to God for his grace apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. He tells them that in Christ, God has enriched you in every way. He tells them that the testimony about Christ was confirmed among them. That is, at one time, they were pagans. They were. They were unbelievers. They wanted nothing to do with the Lord Jesus Christ. They wanted nothing to do with the things of God. They had no love for God. And then this apostle shows up in their midst. And there are some other believers there in the city. And he begins proclaiming this word, this testimony about the Son of God who had come, who had lived a perfect life, who had died, even though he did not deserve death, had been crucified on a cross. This Son of God who was no longer dead because his Father had raised him from the dead. This testimony about one who had been taken to the Father in order to reign over all things. Paul proclaimed the gospel to the church, or rather, they weren't the church yet, but to the unbelievers at Corinth. And what happened? The Holy Spirit confirmed within their hearts that this testimony about Christ was true. The Holy Spirit, as Jeff prayed earlier, convicted them of their sins. And they believed that Christ had been crucified on their behalf. They believed that he had been raised from the dead. They believed that he is Lord over all things. The Holy Spirit had confirmed among them this testimony to Christ. They heard the gospel. They responded to it. And they entered into the blessings of God's grace. By God's grace, they heard the gospel. By God's grace, they responded to the gospel of Christ. And now, by God's grace, they were living in Christ in a state of grace. Gospel-centered thanksgiving is centered on Christ. Because we cannot know this grace of God apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. There is, the Bible speaks of, a common grace that God bestows on everyone, everywhere. That's what Paul was referring to in Acts 17, which I read from earlier. But that's not the kind of grace Paul has in mind here. He has in mind the grace that comes only through faith in Christ. The grace that comes only as a result of Christ having been crucified on our behalf. A gospel-colored thanksgiving from start to finish credits God for his grace, and it is centered on Christ himself. But it's not only a thankfulness that gives attention for God's past work of grace. A gospel-colored thanksgiving also recognizes God's present work of grace in the life of believers. Notice verse 7. Paul says, so that you are not lacking in any spiritual gift. Where they stand in a state of grace, and they do not lack for these grace gifts because God has provided, God is providing to them what they need in order to be the people of God together. They are presently experiencing God's grace. Verse 8, who will sustain you to the end? This sustaining, this keeping to the end is forward looking, right? It's a future tense. He will sustain you. But it's not a sustaining that will begin at some time in the future. It's a sustaining that is happening for the Corinthians as they read this. It's a present reality, and it will continue on until the appointed time that the Lord has set. So God's grace is present in their midst even now. In verse 9, Paul speaks of the fellowship that they have in the Son. You were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. This fellowship is much larger than the way in which we commonly use the word fellowship. That is, we use the word fellowship to speak about enjoying time with one another, being with one another, doing things together. And this is, in one sense, Christian fellowship. But the Christian fellowship, the fellowship into which believers have been called in Christ, is much bigger than just spending time with fellow believers. It is permanently being at one with the Son. It is a being united with Christ in a way that will never be destroyed, and associated with that, all of the benefits that come to one united with Christ, being a part of God's family, having preserved for them, as Jeff prayed earlier, an inheritance that will never perish, spoil, or fade. This is what the fellowship of the Son is. And it is their fellowship now because they are experiencing God's grace here and now as they read this letter. So a gospel-colored thanksgiving credits God for his grace, centers on Christ, is thankful for the present activity of God's grace in the life of a believer and in the midst of a believer, but it is also looking forward. It is confident in God's completion of all things. Verses 7 through 8, so that you are not lacking in any spiritual gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will sustain you to the end, guiltless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul says there is coming a day, the day of the Lord, when the Lord will return, when judgment will be exercised. But believer, for you, there is good news. Because God will sustain you. God will keep you until that day, and He will keep you blameless. Why? Because the Lord Jesus Christ has taken upon Himself your sin, and He has clothed you in, or imputed to you, His righteousness, so that you can stand before the Father guiltless. Not because you have done something good, not because you have earned a righteous declaration, but because the Lord Jesus Christ has done everything that you could not do, and because He has given to you His good standing before the Father. A gospel-colored thanksgiving looks at believers and recognizes that although they are messy in this life, and we are, let's be honest, we look nice this morning, right? But we're messy. We still struggle with sin. We hurt one another, even when we don't want to, especially when we don't want to. We frustrate one another. We mess up. And yet Paul can look this church in the eye, so to speak, and despite all of the grief that they had caused him, he can say, I am thankful to God for you because of His grace, and He will sustain you guiltless to the end. You don't look like it now. I don't look like it now. But by God's grace, thank God, He will do it. So what does a gospel-colored thanksgiving look like? A gospel-colored thanksgiving looks like gratitude that acknowledges God as the giver of every good and perfect gift. It's a thanksgiving that acknowledges that the grace of God comes to us supremely in the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, and it cannot conceive of God's saving grace, of God's keeping grace, apart from Christ. It is a thanksgiving that rejoices in God's ongoing work of grace in the life of believers. It's a thanksgiving that not only looks back, not only looks to the present, but also looks ahead to God's gracious consummation of all things, when we will be with Him forever, when those who are in Christ will hear, not guilty. Not guilty because of the Son. So what does it look like in our lives? What does a gospel-colored thanksgiving look like in our lives? Well, that depends, right? That depends on where we find ourselves today. If you are here this morning and you have not turned to Christ, you do not claim to be trusting in the death and the resurrection of Christ as your only hope before the judgment of God that is to come, then the way in which you can have a gospel-colored thanksgiving is to flee to Christ, to run to Him. Gospel-colored thanksgiving is centered on Christ, and you can't know it. You cannot express it. You cannot even fathom it apart from a conscious, personal dependence upon Christ Himself. So if you don't know Christ, how can you have a gospel-colored thanksgiving? Go to Christ. Trust in Him. for the believer. You have placed your trust in Christ. You are trusting in Christ now, looking forward to that day when you will be with Him forever. What does a gospel-colored Thanksgiving look like in your life? A gospel-colored Thanksgiving is not limited to material blessings, personal benefit, offered when we think someone else deserves it. We should thank God for these things, but we should not stop here. We should pause and take time and thank God for the grace that He has bestowed upon us in Christ. We should thank Him for the fact that we heard the gospel through the preaching of the word, through the testimony of a mother or father or friend or coworker. We should thank God that He has brought the gospel to us, and we should thank God that we have responded to the gospel. We should give God credit for His grace in bringing us to and enabling us to respond to the gospel. We should take time and reflect on how God's grace is demonstrated in our own lives, how He is enabling us to wage war against sin, how He is helping us to advance in our Christian walk, how He is providing us opportunities to serve with our spiritual gifts, the body of Christ. We should thank God for His grace at work in our lives now. But we should also take time to reflect on the fact that this is not all that there is. That there is a day that is coming when God will complete the work that He has started in us. For some of you, believers, this type of thanksgiving to God for His grace may be difficult in this season of life, not just this week, but this season of life, because you're going through hardship. You have lost a dear loved one. This is your first Thanksgiving without them. This is all the more reason why our Thanksgiving must not be dependent on material things, must not be dependent on a frame of mind that is pleasant and happy all of the time, but it must be colored by the gospel, because God is sustaining you. God has given you His grace, and He is sustaining you now, and He will sustain you until the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. Take time, meditate on the gospel. Go back and read Ephesians chapter 1, 3 through 14 that Scott read earlier. A treasure trove of God's grace to us in Christ. Take time, even this week, to rejoice in all that God has done for you, all that God has given to you in Christ. Black Friday is a day devoted to spending the material riches that people have, right? Take part of Black Friday and meditate on the spiritual riches that God has given to you in Christ. Let your thanksgiving be gospel colored. But Paul in 1 Corinthians 1, 4 through 9 doesn't thank God for his own experience of grace. We should thank God for this. But he turns his attention to God's grace bestowed on others. And believers, this is what a gospel-colored Thanksgiving should look like for us. We should look at one another. We should observe, take time, reflect, and observe, how is it that you see the grace of God revealed in the lives of your fellow believers? Do they claim Christ as their own? If yes, then praise God for the grace of God that has been bestowed upon them. That would not be their claim were it not for the fact that God had given them His grace centered in Christ. Where do you see God at work in their lives now, demonstrating His work of grace as they exercise their spiritual gifts, as they simply love on other believers, as they love on non-believers? How do you see God's grace at work in their lives? Take time and reflect how you see God by His grace at work in our midst as a congregation, and give Him thanks for that. Praise His name for His gracious work amongst us. And finally, remember that gospel-colored thanksgiving is not offered for those who necessarily earn it or deserve it. There are believers who frustrate you. We're all here, right? We have relationships, even with other believers, that are difficult. And it is hard. Let's admit it. Sometimes it is hard to thank God for fellow believers when they are frustrating us, when they are disappointing us. But by God's grace, the Apostle Paul offers thanks for a church of believers that gave him countless fits, that frustrated him to no end. And yet he could look at them and he could say, God's grace has been at work at them in the past. Praise God. God's grace is at work in their midst now. Thank you, Father. And there is coming a day, as messy as they are and as messy as I am, there is coming a day when by God's grace, He will make them perfect. Praise God for His grace in their lives. Believer, let your thanksgiving this week, this month, this year, until the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ, whenever that will be, let your thanksgiving be colored by the gospel. After I pray, we're going to sing a closing hymn, How Deep the Father's Love for Us. This hymn is a meditation on the depth and the breadth of the Father's love for us, shown to us in Christ's death and resurrection for us. Let this hymn be a prayer of thanksgiving for God's magnificent, boundless grace to us in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we come before You again this morning, God, You deserve all of the glory. You deserve all of the praise for who we are. Father, You deserve the praise for the growth that believers have experienced in their life. Father, You deserve the glory for the work of Christ, for the coming of the message of the gospel, for the preservation of the message of the gospel down through the ages, even for our hearing and responding to the message of the gospel. So Father, this morning, as we sing, Father, this week, as we gather with friends and family, Father, this week, as we have time perhaps to step back from our normal routine, Father, help us to fill in our thanksgiving with the vibrant colors of the gospel. Father, help us. Help us in this way to declare that our faith has indeed found a resting place in none other than the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. May Christ be the center of our thanksgiving. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.